Hello, everyone. Thank you all for being here this afternoon, and thanks for that introduction. I will be talking about a large-scale hospital evaluation that we conducted. Let's do this. Oh, no, back it up. Sorry about that. I do have a disclaimer. Myself and John Leidecker have the following personal financial relationship with commercial interests relevant to this presentation, which existed during the last 12 months. Namely, that we were and are employed as a senior public health consultant and the managing director, respectively, of the Leidecker Group, the entity contracted to perform this evaluation study for the Texas Department of State Health Services. Hepatitis B, in a very general sense, is inflammation of the liver due to the infection with the hepatitis B virus. Hepatitis B is significant to the perinatal infection prevention community in that, in addition to the very large disease burden that's present in the United States, 90% of infants that are born to hepatitis B infected mothers become chronically infected, and the risk for premature death in infants as a result of this chronic infection is 15 to 25%. Consequently, the Texas State Health Department, in partnership with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, maintains a perinatal hepatitis B prevention program and has for some time. As part of this program, the DSHS contracted the Leidecker Group to perform a study to evaluate Texas hospital policies and practices for the prevention of perinatal hepatitis B. Namely, the specific study objectives were to determine the rates of hepatitis B surface antigen screening in maternity patients, to determine the rates of hepatitis B birth dose immunization in neonates before discharge from the hospital, and also to determine the rates of immunoprophylaxis within 12 hours of births for neonates who were potentially exposed to hepatitis B during birth, as indicated by their mother's HBsAg positive status, or if perhaps the mother was unknown at time of birth. Hospitals were selected for this study foremost by interest, as it, if you'll pardon that expression, but perinatal hepatitis B coordinators across the state were asked to say, which hospitals would you like us to evaluate? And that was the first subset. We then gap-filled it to ensure that there was representation for both rural and metropolitan hospitals, that we had a statewide geographic distribution across the mighty state of Texas, and we wanted to include all hospital business types, for-profit, not-for-profit, and public hospitals. And the total number of hospitals that were selected for the study were 119 hospitals, and they all participated. In order to determine how representative this subset of hospitals were, we wanted to compare this 119 hospitals to all potential like-type hospitals, and we defined that as hospitals that had significant labor and delivery services. In other words, they had more than 100 deliveries in 2008, or they had greater than 30, and or they had greater than 30 cesarean sections in 2007. And we used two different sources to determine the hospitals in Texas that had this significant level of labor and delivery services, and there were a total of 225 identified by this method. So our 119 study hospitals were representative in that they were 53% of this 225 cohort of hospitals with labor and delivery services, but they represented about 70% of all the births in Texas. There was a slight overrepresentation in metropolitan hospitals. Over 64% of the study hospitals were metropolitan, as opposed to less than that for the overall set of L&D hospitals. And we only were in 42 of the 109 counties that had labor and delivery hospitals. As far as the business types of hospitals that were in the 119 study hospitals, it was about the same level as statewide for-profit, a slight overrepresentation of not-for-profit hospitals, and a slight underrepresentation of public hospitals. This map shows the counties where hospitals were participating in the study. The white counties indicate counties in Texas that do not have hospitals with significant labor and delivery services, so they were ineligible for participation. The green counties are the counties which had hospitals which were selected for study, and you can see the distribution of statewide in the map. The yellow counties are those counties that had hospitals or still have hospitals with significant labor and delivery services but were not selected for study. The large metropolitan areas in Texas were all had hospitals which were participating in our study, and this included, for those of you who are unfamiliar with the geography of Texas, El Paso, Lubbock, Fort Worth, Dallas, Houston, Austin, San Antonio, McAllen, and Brownsville. The data collected for this study was done via on-site medical chart abstraction, and the sample methodology was based on CDC guidance. The records were pulled by mother-baby paired records in an interval sampling method across all 2008 live birth events, and 75 to 116 chart pairs were pulled per hospital, and this was based on a statistical sample based on birth cohort size for that given hospital. The total number of charts abstracted were over 25,000, and the maternal charts were 12,670, and because some moms have more than one baby, the total number of neonate charts abstracted were over 13,000. The chart abstractions were conducted from April 2009 to February 2010. The major data elements collected during this study were general maternal demographics, as well as her prenatal laboratory information and her admission laboratory information, including the type of documentation that was in the chart, as well as the dates of the tests and the results of the tests, and attending physician type. From the neonate chart, we also abstracted general demographics, but this also included gestational age and birth weight. We also documented how the mother's maternal HBSAG status was documented in the neonatal chart, and we abstracted the date and time of the administration of hepatitis B vaccine and hepatitis B immunoglobulin, or HBIG, if given, the orders, physician orders for the above, and any guardian refusals of the above, if that was indicated in the chart. We also tracked whether or not the baby was admitted to the neonatal intensive care unit and or died in lieu of discharge from the hospital. Texas state law requires the testing for hepatitis B surface antigen in maternity patients at first prenatal visit and then again on admission to the hospital for labor and delivery. And the percent of women across the state in this study that had both tests was 87%, but it ranged from 7 to 100%. The one outlier hospital at 7% actually had as practice to test on admission only women with unknown HBSAG status, and that apparently was about 7% of their population. Most mothers, however, had at least one HBSAG screening test result in their medical chart, and that was either from prenatal tests or at their admission test, with 114 of the 119 hospitals reporting 100% of the women with HBSAG results in their chart. So what type of prevention treatment was provided prior to discharge from the hospital to newborns who were at possible risk for hepatitis B infection? Positive results in this study were interpreted rather liberally and included both positive HBSAG as well as equivocal results in the maternal chart for either prenatal or admission test results. And it also included one woman who had documented negative results in one part of her chart and positive results in another part of her chart. One infant that was born to these positive status mothers did not receive vaccine nor HBIG, and only 57% overall of the babies received the immunoglobulin. The one that didn't receive vaccine had documented guardian refusal of the vaccine. Mothers that were unknown at admission, i.e. they either did not have prenatal tests done or their prenatal records were unavailable at time of admission, accounted for over 1,300 neonates, and about 95% of them received vaccination, but only about 2% received the immunoglobulin. And for the very few women who had no HBsAg screening done whatsoever, again, about 95% of their infants born to that subclass got vaccinated, and about 3% got immunoglobulin. When administered, and the time of administration was actually documented in the chart, that was only a subset of the vaccination records that we could find. The median time for vaccine delivery and HBIG delivery was well within the 12-hour recommended limit for most efficacious delivery. The upper limit, however, of all the administrations, with the exception of these few numbers down here, is coincident with the routine discharge time, indicating there wasn't a sense of expediency in all cases, even though the median times were below 12 hours. Newborn records from all newborns that actually lived to discharge were reviewed for evidence of hepatitis B vaccination prior to discharge, and 23 of the 119 hospitals achieved 100% hepatitis B vaccination rates, universal birth dose administration. So the health department is very excited to see that particular number. Statewide, the average was 90.5%, and the lowest was in the low 20%. Newborn records were reviewed for guardian refusal of hepatitis B vaccine when the baby was considered healthy, i.e. it was born greater than 2,000 grams, was not admitted to the neonatal intensive care unit, was not transferred to another facility shortly after birth for a higher level of care, or did not die in lieu of discharge. So for that subset of babies, we looked to see, did the guardian refuse vaccination? And statewide, the average was about 3%. 46 hospitals had no parents that refused vaccination, and one hospital had 22% of their infants not vaccinated due to guardian refusal. These are the healthy newborns. Newborn records were also reviewed for the evidence of a physician counter order against standing orders for hepatitis B vaccination, or orders to vaccinate in office following discharge, for these same healthy newborns. Most hospitals, 82, had no record of infants that had this pediatrician choice to not vaccinate, but one hospital had 75% of its newborns not vaccinated due to pediatrician choice. Overall, the state average again was about 3%, very similar to that as for guardian refusal. This slide shows, in the second column here, the rates of hepatitis B vaccination by day three of birth as reported in the 2008 National Immunization Survey by the CDC, the standard for immunization rates in children in the U.S. This study demonstrated higher rates across the state for hepatitis B vaccination within 1 day of birth, or within 3 days of birth, basically, because it was before discharge as well. And higher rates overall for all the geographic subgroups that the NIS also reports. It's consistent in the trends in that the highest levels of vaccination are in El Paso County, and it's also consistent in a lower than state average trend for Bexar County, where San Antonio is located. The differences between the two surveys could most likely be explained by the difference in source documentation for these two different rate assessments. The NIS uses pediatrician office records as divulged by telephone survey permissions as granted by guardians, and this study uses data gathered directly from hospital medical charts. So it's comparing two different ways of gathering information. There are study limitations to this study in that it was a non-random hospital selection. We started off with preference selections and then gap-filled to assure some level of representativeness across the state. There was a slight bias toward metropolitan hospitals and not-for-profits. We have to remember that this measured only hospital-based vaccination, so it didn't include any infants that were born outside hospitals with significant labor and delivery services, nor things like birthing centers or other sorts of non-traditional type of locations for births, home births, etc. It also did not account for any babies that were vaccinated in pediatricians' offices, even within 3 days of birth. The other thing to remember is that medical charts are not always complete, and we found in practice that this was most often encountered when a hospital was undergoing some sort of record transition period, i.e. they were switching from paper records to electronic records, and there would be a gap in the medication administration record or gaps in laboratory documentation, etc. In conclusion, Texas hospitals performed significantly better at provision of birth dose coverage than that was indicated by the NIS data. And virtually 100% of women are being screened in Texas for HBsAg at least once by the time they deliver. There do exist gaps in the clinical management of babies born to unknown or positive status mothers, and the lack of birth dose vaccination reveals opportunities for both guardian and pediatrician education. I'd like to take this time to thank all the hospitals that participated, especially their labor and delivery and nursery and medical records. It was an arduous task of a lot of medical chart abstraction. We also had a lot of extremely helpful assistance from the local health departments and the perinatal Hep B coordinators, the director at the State Health Services, as well as our CDC partners, and the Leidecker group of reviewers who collected all this data. So thank you very much, and I will be happy to answer any questions.
Yes. Does Texas have an immunization registry where you try to capture the data from the pediatrician's offices?
Yes. Does Texas have an immunization registry to capture that information? And yes, they do. And there's also a place on the birth certificate in Texas to say they got Hep B vaccination or not. They have not found that to be an exceptionally reliable method for data collection. It's not a It's not consistently used across the state in all offices. So its track record is spotty at best. So that was one of the reasons they wanted to go in and do a gold standard medical chart review to see down in the weeds what actually was happening. Yes, over here. The question is whether there was any follow-up with the pediatricians who issued counter orders. And no, that was not part of what we were designated to do. That information has been relayed to the local health departments that were pertinent to that, you know, those particular little pockets of activity where it was happening. And frankly, most of them already knew about those pediatrician practices. So it was not a surprise to them that those particular pediatricians were choosing to do that, because it was a known fact. So, yes, in the back. The question is whether any differences in the business type of hospital as to the administration of vaccine. And I've only given descriptive analysis here because the more robust analytical stuff hasn't been done yet. So I would say preliminarily, no. That was not a factor in the administration of Hep B vaccine. The biggest difference seen was more of a geographical one. So that there were parts of the state that were much more likely to have higher levels of vaccine as opposed to other levels. And the cultural differences across the geographic distribution of Texas has to be parsed out. So that'll be next year when we do more cultural impact on healthcare practices. So more to come. This is definitely a preliminary. As you can imagine, this is a lot of data to look at. So, yes.
Is there any more last question?
Okay. Okay,
very good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.